coming to you live from outside my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who is recording outdoors on the edge of extinction of podcasting. I am a Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. How are you? We have something very special for you today, because we are going to, much like the edge of extinction, we are going to blow up the Rob Has a Podcast format today, because I have back here with me at the house here in the Rob Has a Podcast backyard, the great three-time player, Aubrey Bracco. Oof. Aubrey, how are you?
I'm wonderful. I was just in the bushes trying to find some food.
Yes.
Right at home here.
Yes.
Going to start a fire with the kids' toys.
Aubrey, can you set the stage for where we are? What's going on?
It was a gray day in June. The clouds had just parted outside the Cesternino compound. There was a little bit of screaming and yelling from in the house.
Yes.
The troops were a little restless, and Aubrey was trying to find her zen in a little patch of outdoor land.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm about to start a fire, heat up a rock, and put it on my chest to keep warm.
Yes. Okay. Well, Aubrey, you said you wanted to do something different.
I did.
And I said, okay, well, let's play into that.
Yes.
And so let's get out of the studio.
I appreciate it.
Let's come outside.
And I love it.
Here we are. We're set up outside. Hopefully this worked and people are listening to this.
It's amazing. Like, for me, the energy outside is so much calmer.
Yeah.
It brings me right back to the edge of extinction.
I love calmer.
Calmer.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I'm so happy to have you here. And we have so much to catch up on.
We do.
And we really have not spoken much since
I told you I was going to go back again.
Your whole adventure. I don't think you said exactly that.
I told you I'd never do it again. And then I went two months later.
Did you already know? Were you tricking me?
It's really interesting. I've thought a lot about the fact that I didn't tell anybody I was going to go back for a third time. And I came to the realization that the reason I didn't tell people is because I thought people would tell me, you're not ready, you shouldn't do it again. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to hear it at the moment.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I was just like, no, I'm not going back. When in reality,
you didn't want to get talked out of it.
I didn't want to get talked out of it, because I'd already kind of freaked myself out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that survivor thing where you kind of compartmentalize. You're like, no, this isn't happening. But indeed it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we talked during Ghost Island. And
we
so
did, yes.
I don't know.
April 11th, 2018.
Yes.
It could exactly be that when it came out. I have a very bizarre calendar memory.
Yeah. And we talked then, and I was so surprised when, I think that in terms of my learning about that you were on the season, I had known, or I had heard the names of the other three returnees.
Yes.
And
oh, you had.
I did hear that prior to when everybody shipped out. And
okay.
I figured, okay, three tribes, three returnees, that makes sense. It didn't even occur to me that there was a fourth returnee.
Mm-hmm.
And then the name that was around and people were talking about was Chrissy Hoffbeck.
Oh, really?
And yes. And then the rumor that I had heard from another person was that, hey, I heard it's going to be Aubrey. He said, no, Aubrey's not play. She doesn't want to play again. Aubrey doesn't want to go back.
Yeah, it's interesting, but when there's a little bit of blood in the water, and I mean, that's the survivor in me. It's like my North Star. Just got
to
do it.
I understand the appeal to why you would do it.
The addiction.
I didn't think that you that was something that was you know, appealing to you at that time, but I guess it was, and we'll talk about that.
Okay.
I'm so excited to go. You know, I think that this is going to be different than the other ones that we've done.
It's definitely been a very different journey,
I think. And I'm ready to go wherever you want to go with this.
I appreciate
that. And that's why I want to also, you know, keep this, make this special for you.
Thank you.
I want to, you know, this is the fifth time I've talked about the season, and I want to keep it fresh for the listeners, too.
Well, it will definitely be different with me, because I had a completely different experience, I think, than most people. And I appreciate that you are willing to give me the forum
and
to
I'm
share
so happy
that
you're here and you wanted to talk about
anything for you, Rob, only for you.
I appreciate that.
Yes.
So, all right. I want to get into everything sure. that you want to talk about. Sure. Let me just take care of some business
Please,
up front here.
Do it up.
And thank our sponsors. And I'm going to go back to back here because that I don't want to stop you. I feel like that we're going to get on a roll.
Cool. I'm going to get under my Edge of Extinction tarp. I brought a piece of it. I'll keep warm while you
do can
the
you
stuff.
Can you talk about it? I want to take a picture of that. So show me what your video, is that going to come up later for show and tell?
Sure, it'll come up later.
Okay.
Do your biz. Rob biz.
This is what I have at my own Edge of Extinction. I just have to cover myself in ads to keep warm at
Fair
night.
Fair enough.
Okay. Aubrey, are you a comic book person?
Nope.
Not really. Well, you will be. You will be when you check out DC Universe.
Oh, I'm in.
The first all DC platform for DC. That's DC Comics. Not about Washington, DC. It's not a politics thing. Okay? It's where you can watch, read, shop, and even connect with other fans. Home of DC original series like Titans, Doom Patrol, Swamp Thing. Did they have a Swamp Thing at the Edge of Extinction?
They had everything at the Edge of Extinction.
Yeah, and Harley Quinn featuring Kaley Cuoco. Thousands of new comics have just been added to their comic library, including more complete storylines and recent titles. Batman 2011, Superman's Secret Origin, Harley Quinn 2013, new animated films like Reign of the Superman, Justice League versus Fatal Five, catch up on series including Krypton Season 1, tons of classic movies, Batman, Batman Returns, Superman. DC Universe is available on your favorite devices. Join today and get a year's worth of content at DCUniverse.com. Okay. And then something else that I know would have been a big hit over on the Edge
Anything
of
would have been.
Extinction. If you've been listening for the past couple of weeks, you've probably heard me talk about Dole smoothie blends, but they also have these amazing frozen Dole acai bowls, too.
Ooh.
With the weather starting to warm up, there's nothing that cools me down quite like a delicious acai bowl. It's light and refreshing, and if you've ever had one, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. These smoothie bowls are great for a delicious breakfast or anytime as a snack. And they're so convenient with Dole acai bowls. There's no washing or prep work, no blender to clean. All you have to do is let it thaw or put it in the microwave for 30 seconds, grab a spoon, and enjoy. Instead of going to a smoothie bowl shop every morning, it's so much more convenient to just pull one out of the freezer rather than having to go and wait in line. Dole acai bowls are a fraction of the price, and they're just as delicious. They come in three great flavors, original, protein, and tropical. And the best part is each one is 230 calories or fewer. So if you're looking for something tasty first thing in the morning or to sneak in a quick snack break, try Dole acai bowls. Find them in your frozen aisle. Okay. We will not stop. We will not stop again. Unless you have to go to the bathroom.
Then, it's all good.
Then that's good.
And we're perfect.
Yes,
we're outside, right, where I feel good about doing the Coconut Grove business.
Yes. Okay. All right. So this is your story. Where do you want to talk about your perspective? Do you want to talk about your journey? The floor is yours.
Yeah, well, I do understand. I would say this. I'm very aware that I'm coming into this from a very different angle than people that were on my season.
Yes.
A very different angle
different than the other returnees or different than the other first-time players?
I would say different than anyone, but I am close to some of the returning players. I'm also close to a couple of the new players that had certain experiences. But the other thing, too, is I also understand that Survivor fans don't always want to hear about the journey.
Mm-hmm.
They want to talk about the game. But what I would say to that is that I think it's amazing that we have a community around this game where we talk about it in terms of strategy. We talk about it in terms of social game. But for me, the season wasn't only about strategy and social game.
Mm-hmm.
The Edge of Extinction as a season to me was a mood. There's something more intangible like about the game that I don't think we have gotten to the place of talking about yet, which is the energetic and chemistry things going on between people out there. And I've seen a lot of people like, oh, the journey. Oh, why'd you vote this way? Oh, you're bitter. You're Scott Pollard. You're this and that. And I've had people kind of, you know, getting mad at me. But I would say if you're going to be in the echo chamber of Survivor and you love this game so much, I would ask that you give me the space to Maybe you can learn something from me. I'm willing to listen to what you have to say, but I've seen a lot of opinions about this season, opinions about things that happened. But the thing that's happened to me in the past 4 years that I find very interesting and has changed my life for the better is that I find it very interesting that people have opinions about things that they didn't, the last person they want to talk to is the people that actually lived it.
Right.
And the narrative becomes something that's not even about you anymore.
Right. I saw this happening on Twitter the other day. I saw somebody, I posted my interview with Victoria and somebody was arguing with Victoria about what happened on the season. And people were like, hey, like these people were there. Like these people were like, this happened to them.
Yeah. And that's totally fine if you have a different opinion. But like, I've seen stuff where like, I want to hear what Aubrey has to say. And someone says she's not going to tell the truth anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I would never go to you, to someone on the, I would never say to that person back, like, if you tell me this is what I lived, I'm not going to say, oh, well, that's not the truth or you're lying. Here's the thing. I understand not everyone's up for the like, oh, she's into energy healing now. She's intuitive. Oh, blah, 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 her journey. You know what? I'm a tough cookie, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I come into this with similar mixed emotions as I come into life with, I can be the most feisty MF-er. Sorry if you have to bleep me. I don't know how this works with that stuff anymore because I've become more open.
Yeah.
I can be the most sassy son of a gun, double birding people, but I'm also extremely empathic and sensitive. And I think that it's okay to be both. And anyone who's on the internet who is just going to start piling on a bandwagon of groupthink, you know something? Everybody has a lot of different parts of their personality. And I'm willing to hear what you have to say if you're respectful enough to give me the energetic space to share mine. So thanks for having me.
Okay.
Let's go.
Talk to me. You mentioned about the energy. Can you talk a little bit about this?
Yeah, so it's been really interesting. Since I got back from the edge of extinction, I said this to Rob when we started, I had this very strange sensation. I think I went through something a little different out there and that it wasn't just a game. It was very much like a spiritual thing for me. Mm-hmm. It was very much I was so depleted when I got home.
Mm-hmm.
It was
physically,
but it went beyond physical.
Yes.
It was physical. It was mental. And I realized after three times in three calendar years of filming,
yes,
or four calendar years of filming, that I was depleted on another level. And I felt like I wasn't in my own body when I got home.
Mm-hmm.
I lost 25 pounds way too rapidly. It was such a mind screw to be on the edge of extinction. Like, that place was very intense. I mean, there was a lot of downtime, but it was very intense. And I've kind of been trying to see things through this. People all have vibes, energies, and that's what the edge of extinction as a season was. I think a lot of people are trying to grasp what exactly this group of people was. I've heard a lot of people say, like, I didn't quite get, like, what was going on. It was a very strange crew.
Yeah.
So I don't know where you want to start. Feel free to like guide me here in a way that's a little more linear.
I guess in terms of the big picture,
sure,
do you feel like that most of us who just watched the show didn't really understand what happened on the edge of extinction and just how physically intensive it might have been? Because from my understanding, in talking to people, it sounds like it was very hard at first, but maybe got easier along the way. But you were there.
It was very hard, but got easier along the way.
In terms of like there being more bodies and more people, as it became more of like a functioning society as time went on, and more comfort in the group.
Yeah, so I would say like maybe that's where I differ a little bit, and maybe my three times in 4 years is where the exhaustion is coming out for me. So I don't want to kind of tell other people like your experience was wrong, but
yeah, I heard that Rick didn't think
the edge of extinction
was too hard. He was there for 6 days, and then Chris talked more about his experience there.
So I would say this. The Edge of Extinction was very hard. Mm-hmm. It's a little interesting for me to hear from Rick that he thought, I understand what Rick means. When you're in the game, and it was the first time Rick played, your mind is going 150 billion miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And on the Edge of Extinction, you battle something else, which is like complete stopping and then going into game mode, trying to figure out what's going on every day. Like, mm-hmm. I was playing the game when I was on the Edge of Extinction. I was looking for advantages at every turn. I was figuring out how to manage my relationships on the edge. I didn't tell people I had an idol on the Edge of Extinction until mm-hmm. Kelly got there. And like, I love Rick dearly, but it's just funny of me to hear that because he had a hard time on the Edge of Extinction when the 6 days or however many days I was there with him, where he would go off by himself and like completely zone out. So yes, was it easier? Yes, it was probably easier because he was laying around and he wasn't scrambling for stuff. Mm-hmm. But I know psychologically that the Edge of Extinction is why Rick played with the fervor that he did when he went back in the game. He went for broke. He was on the bottom. He got voted out. He had nothing. He was sitting there like, mm-hmm. what the heck am I doing? My survivor dream is over. And that's what fueled him going back in. So like, I love you, Rick, but I think the Edge of Extinction, I think it was tough. I mean, yeah. Maybe it was tougher for me.
I think that I don't think he said it was easy, but he's felt like that the game was harder than being on the edge. And I think his exact quote was, I could take a nap on the Edge of Extinction. I couldn't go and take a 4-hour nap in the game.
That's fair. Yeah. And that's fair. That was the circumstance he was in. And I'm not going to take away from him for that.
Okay.
But my experience was different also in that I was one of four returning players who mm-hmm. I felt ostracized from the moment I stepped off the boat. I knew immediately that I was in trouble.
Was this a suicide mission in terms of you guys coming back and being put into this season?
I misperceived how I was perceived, and that's on me.
Mm-hmm.
I go into every season of Survivor feeling like, wow, this is a new group of people. When I went into Game Changers, my strategy was don't pregame, be the person who just bonds with people. But I miscalculated that people who are super fans of the game were going to see me in the way that they did. So I jumped off the boat.
The players.
Yes. Yeah. Jumped off the boat. And my strategy was, okay, we're not going to talk about Survivor.
Yeah. This is Edge of Extinction, not Game Changers.
Sorry. Yeah. Let me go back there a second. We're on the Edge of Extinction.
Yes.
Survivor season 38.
Okay.
They all kind of blend together at this point, quite frankly. I jumped off a boat
like
three times.
Like a Dole smoothie or acai bowl.
Like an acai bowl. And I go to the comma camp. And I knew, like, okay, you don't want to talk about Survivor. We don't want to get into the season 32 drama. We don't want to get into this and that. But I immediately realized that my plan of not talking about Survivor wasn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because everyone wanted to talk about Survivor.
Yeah.
Like, my favorite example is that we were sitting around the fire day one or two. Someone asked me a question about Survivor and someone else answered for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, whoa, I didn't even know that about my damn game.
Yeah.
Cool, man. So it was tough. And I knew they were after me. I knew when I spoke to Eric, like, I was very attracted to the, like, oh, firefighter. Like, he is going to be someone who wants to minimize chaos. He's used to working with the routine. And I could tell when Eric looked at me, like, he doesn't necessarily want to work with me.
Yeah.
And I got that vibe off of people. And I think that's why I went into corporate Aubrey mode, which is kind of the dialogue. So funny. Mm-hmm. I went into this mode of where I felt like people didn't really want to get to know me. So I didn't want to do that thing where I was trying to infringe on their party too much.
Right. So mm-hmm. when there was the scene in the show where, everybody is saying, Aubrey is saying this, the same thing. And it was, very funny for, the TV show. But
yes.
I think that you could make that kind of real about any person in any situation. Like, we all have like mannerisms and things. I'm sure you could make a super cut of this podcast.
For sure.
Of here,
yeah.
Rob say the same phrase
thing
to every single person that I talk to.
War Dog did the same thing with
give
lines
any
of communication.
Ideas. Right.
Same thing. Yeah.
Right. So if what are you not supposed to talk to everybody?
Well, I mean, yeah, like that's the thing. I'm damned if I do. I'm damned if I don't. I'm a game bot, but then I'm too emotional. Then I have no social game. Mm-hmm. Then I'm the biggest empath who can like connect with anyone and they cry on me. So I'm whatever you want me to be. Like at this point, I've learned anything. It's just that like I fit into whatever you want. But yeah, I was getting the sense that people were not warming up to me on a personal level. Mm-hmm. So like if I don't feel comfortable with someone, I don't want them to be like, oh, hey, like, what's up? Like, let me, like, I was trying to keep it like, can we just try to talk to each other?
Yeah.
So that's what felt appropriate. And what also felt appropriate was going like a wild animal into the woods for days to find the idol.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I knew I had to do it.
What was your relationship like with Joe? And did you have any existing relationship with Joe coming into the game?
So the interesting thing about Joe is that I felt very comfortable with Sierra Dawn in 34. Like, very comfortable.
I hadn't even pieced that together, that you had that relationship.
Yeah, you wouldn't know because it didn't make the show. Like, the big joke we made is that we said we wanted to be on each other's jet skis and we never got on the other's jet ski, like mm-hmm. in a classic analogy.
Yeah.
So when Joe was there, I was like, yes, like my connection is Sierra. And I instantly clicked with Joel. Let's go back to season one. I instantly clicked with Joe.
Yeah.
I've never had someone who felt like a brother on the show. And Joe and I immediately had that thing where we would just like feel what was going on. And he's an empath like I am. And I got along with him immediately.
Yeah.
But I was a little more frantic than he was landing on that beach.
Mm-hmm.
So felt wonderful with Joe.
Okay. And Joe's going to help you guys win challenges. And so it's sort of like...
people win challenges all the way to the merch.
Mm-hmm. And it's like a double-edged sword of, you know, that things politically are not going great, but you guys are winning.
Yeah. And that was the tough thing. Like, politically, things weren't going great. And I knew that I was on the bottom of Joe and Aurora because Aurora was speaking to us, and I really clicked with Aurora. I mm-hmm. really love her. And she kind of had that thing where she understood what it meant to be ostracized a little bit. Like, we didn't necessarily vocalize it, but I sensed that on her, that she understood what it meant to be not in the crew.
Yeah. Did anybody from Kama give you an in?
Gavin came up to me. He told me he's a big fan. He loved Hocus Pocus and Salem. And I mm-hmm. felt comfortable with him in that it was like, yeah, word as strong as oak kind of thing. He had that solidity to him. Victoria, I thought was kind of quirky, but I was like, there's more to the story here.
Mm-hmm.
And Julie, she reminded me of some of my relatives. And we had some emotional moments. Like, we cried on each other, or she cried on me on the beach,
mm-hmm.
About how hard it actually was. And the other person was Ron. So like, I would say what Ron and I really bonded. He reminded me of Ty, like that instant connection. I got along with people one-on-one, but in the group, I found it very challenging. I knew in the group I didn't fit, but one-on-one I was like, liked people.
Right. Because they are having these conversations of, hey, we're voting out the returning players, right? So now if any of them showing that they're giving you what's with this person?
Right.
Or what do they want to work with the returnees now?
Right.
Yeah. So they're on the bottom of our pecking order.
Right.
And so, yeah, I don't know how you guys cracked that. I mean, I've said about David and Kelly that I feel like that they sort of like got it because people thought they were not on the same page.
Right.
And I wonder if maybe that not united front is the only way to break up these group of first timers.
Yeah. I also have a theory about Kama that it was kind of like nice, more even keel people.
Mm-hmm.
And that Manu was all these like chaotic big characters, like in the similar way that I talk about Ko Rong, about when you have these big villains like in a Scott and Jason, like there's the more neutral people
mm-hmm.
can kind of stand out because they're like the antithesis to those mm-hmm. big ones. And it was almost like I couldn't find the crack because everyone was like so chill and such a normal person. But on Manu, there was enough of the chaos that Kelly and Dave had to kind of cling to each other to survive.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of that dynamic where it was almost too chill. Mm-hmm.
You talked about how you don't like Kumbaya survivors, very Kumbaya at Kama.
Yeah, I mean, the thing for me is that I am somebody who is very in chaos. I feel very calm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to manage it. And when things are very calm, I'm a little bit like waiting for the next shoe to drop in Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that's why I don't like Kumbaya Survivor, I also was just like, it was the kind of thing where people would like ask my advice about something and I'd be like, I don't want to really share it, but you're asking for it, so I have to give it to you, mm-hmm. but I know you don't want to hear what I have to say.
Mm-hmm. And then, like what, about like survival
or
stuff?
Or like how to play or like what my style would be. Yeah, survival stuff, but like what my style would be. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, they have to learn this for themselves and play the game. And then it was just frustrating because it's like people would ask, I knew they didn't want to hear it and knew they wouldn't follow through on it, and then mm-hmm. those things would like actually happen.
Yeah,
like that happened with me and Eric when we swapped. I like called what was gonna happen.
What about what
I told Eric when we swapped, fast forwarding because we're probably going to be nonlinear here, I told him that if he came for me or I got taken out, I was considered like the appendage to Joe, and once Joe went out they were going to come from him because they were going to perceive him as an alpha male, and the underrated story was that the 20 something year olds were going to come together and bond to take out the people they perceived as threats.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened.
Yeah,
but I can't say that to somebody, like they have to learn from themselves. So I felt like I was damned if I did share.
Yes.
And then
okay. Is there anything else you want to say about the beginning of the game at comma or this or that situation or going to Survivor or your headspace coming in?
Yeah, my headspace coming in is like I knew I was like I was definitely like kind of a wild man. I knew that if I was almost convincing myself, like hyping myself up to be like, let's go. Like you saw Sandra coming. I mean, I'm not saying I'm Sandra. My ego is not that big.
Yeah.
I mean, not like big enough that I would compare myself to her. I'm not saying she has a big ego.
Don't worry about the chorus out there in terms of
I don't really care about the chorus. I just genuinely have respect for people, so I don't want to seem like I'm mm-hmm. being nasty to someone that I'm not trying to be.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was going to be rough, so I went in, psyched myself up, went in guns blazing. Yeah, that's all I got to say about the beginning.
Okay. All right. So then we get to the swap. And,
sure.
And you want to talk about finding the idol, actually? I mean, this was a big moment. It was presented
as a
big moment on the
show.
I
was so appreciative for that moment because I did have that sensation of I had just been invited to a wedding. I was a wedding crasher. No one wanted me there. And I looked for that. I looked for that idol. And I was like, I would run out in the middle of the night. I would go out when they were all fishing. I would have Ron mm-hmm. out there with me. So, yeah, it was highly emotional. Like, I've never cried. I had to, like, when I spoke about finding the idol, I had to do it several times because it was so emotional for mm-hmm. me. And the beginning of that game, I realized that there was a lot more sitting with me personally than I had realized coming out the third time, that mm-hmm. it really was two seasons prior that were weighing a bit. And that's why it meant so much to me. And I was appreciative of how it was shown that I had always been looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You talked about on Twitter that Ty helped you find the idol.
How
were you channeling him? Was he sending energy to you?
Yeah, I mean, I was out there and I was like, what would Ty do right now?
Mm-hmm.
I was like talking to him because I have that connection with Ty. I have from the moment I was with him in casting.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just the like, where would Ty, what would Ty do right now? Where mm-hmm. is Ty? Ty, help me find this.
Yeah.
And he did.
And he did.
He did.
Okay. So you guys go to the swap.
We do.
And you have this crazy swap where
oh my gosh,
you end up on the Manu tribe, but it's you with Gavin and Victoria, Eric, and
Wendy.
Big Wendy.
Yep. Yes. Yeah, it was tough. I remember that swap. I wanted to pull the buff that Julia did, but she got it before me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was confused with the green and blue at first, and I thought I was with Kelly. I'm like, oh, this could be good. And I got there, and the thing I was happy about was that the three original comma that were with me were people who I felt like I had the most strategic conversations with of the new people aside from Aurora. So I felt like one-on-one, like even though I knew Eric didn't necessarily want to work with me, I was like, if I have him alone,
mm-hmm.
I might have a chance. And when I had Victoria away from Julia, I was like, I could have a chance.
Yeah.
So I felt good about that.
what was it like meeting Wendy and getting the tour of, because you had been to that beach before,
that was
right?
My beach in, that was the new whatever, my second swap tribe in 34 and the merge tribe in 34. Yeah, it was a little weird to go back to the same place. I mean, like, oh, hey, you're showing me around your new house? Well, I used to live here in 1975. But it also is a new season. It still was new. It wasn't, mm-hmm. they didn't have the camp set up in the same way. So, I mean, Wendy was very gracious. Mm-hmm. She's a very genuine person. And yeah, it was cool.
Do you find stuff like with... You know, I know that, like, where, like, we had our camp in the seasons I played, like, there was definitely noticeable that we were there. Like, when they shoot all these seasons in the same location, can you tell, like, where...
I have a good one for
previously,
you.
Previously, yeah.
We used to spit out papaya seeds in Game Changers, and I found them in the woods where we used to hang out.
Yeah.
Where Andrea, Sari, and I would go in the very back.
Talk about Ghost Island. Like, it's really...
And I think I said that with the chickens. I was like, oh my gosh, there's like Mark the chicken. I mean, he flew from Cambodia, but yeah, it's strange. I mean, I got voted off when I was at that beach both times. Yeah, it's weird. There's a vibe. You're like, oh, this is where that bad thing happened. Don't go behind that tree. Oh, okay, dokie. That's where I had a not so great moment with this person. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you're first there, you're going to get through the one vote. Rick Devens is going to get voted out from Lesu.
So bad. He looked at me. He knew he was going. And we would have worked really well together in the game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
bummer.
Was that one of the reasons why he sent the extra vote to you?
Yeah, I think Rick and I, like, we do kind of operate at a similar wavelength where we're, like, strategic, but in this, like, willy-nilly, like, barrel down the road kind of way. There's a lot of emotion behind it. Yeah, Rick and I at that point would have been great in the game together, and he knew Dave knew me, so he wanted to give me the vote so we could work together.
Okay, so... Could you sense that anything was amiss with this group, or was it just like you were just locked in? Wendy is going to get voted out if we go to a tribal council with this group in the swap.
Yeah, I didn't always feel comfortable with this group. I did have Eric had come up to me and said, now is our moment to make a big move. And I did, like, actually kind of believe him. I did have that conversation.
What was Eric's big move that he wanted
to make? Well, he hadn't said. He was like, we could make a move now. And... I wasn't quite sure what it was. We didn't kind of get into the details, but we also had that conversation that I had mentioned happened by the well, where I told him if he picked me off, they were going to, like, come for the alpha men. Gavin would check in with me, but I knew Gavin and Eric were really close. And Victoria was always kind of like that lone bird. We did bond, I thought, a bit about, like, having anxiety, and she had a very... deep conversation with me about her anxiety the day she voted me out. And the other thing was Wendy actually kind of came to me like I was a maternal figure in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the impression that the game was wearing on her and she was considering if she still wanted to be there. Which she was asking me about, where do you go on the pre-jury trip? Do you get your money if you leave early? Mm-hmm. I want to make sure I'm here for the right reasons and not for everybody else. So that conversation happened.
The Bachelor.
Yeah, right? Seriously. That conversation did happen the night before I went.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you were feeling very much that Wendy was checked out and...
Yeah, that did contribute a bit. It's like I totally should have known. I mean, I will say this. Like, when I watched it back... It was difficult. It was the most therapeutic thing in the world to watch myself get voted out. When I watched myself get voted out, I watched like myself disassociate and like my soul like pop out of my body. Like I left. I was like, oh my gosh, what the heck is this? But the thing that was really hard for me was when Victoria talked to me on the beach and I watched what she said to me and I was like, Aubrey, you should have known.
What was it that she said that should have tipped you off?
I should have known that Victoria was closer to Gavin,
mm-hmm.
and that I was the one more trying to drive the strategic conversations leading up to that. And the way I had liked to play Survivor in the past is that people come to me. But it was very clear in the season off the bat, people weren't going to come to me. So I bit when she came to me. And it was hard for me to watch because my friends who watched this show said that I, body language wise, they could tell that I knew somewhere in my intuition that something was off. But when she said to me, like, hey, let's do this, I realized that I used logic to convince myself out of it because I think a part of me just like couldn't deal with feeling alone and being betrayed so much. So I was like, okay, like Victoria's talking to me about strategy. Like, this is good. She understands the value of having a player like me. And then I was like, okay. Gavin was the first one to come up to me. And then like Eric, he's logical. Like, I've talked to him one-on-one and Wendy's told me she's wondering if she's even here for the right reasons. And we had that challenge, and Wendy was a little chaotic doing the puzzle. And I was like, like, they're going to want to, like, I'm more stable. They know how to predict me. Mm-hmm. They know that I'm in kind of a bottom spot right now. I'm not driving anything. I'm one of the four returnees on the bottom. So I, like, let my logic override my intuition. Does that make sense?
Yes, because I think that, and I've had this experience because I've been voted out early and in a blind side. Ugh. And I felt like my intuition was saying, like, this doesn't feel right, but it's like it'll be fine.
It's almost like, Rob, I didn't want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so like tired of feeling on the outside and feeling like so effing screwed that I was like, yes, someone's coming to me. This is amazing. Mm-hmm. And Victoria was really smart. Like, props to her. Like, she knew what she had to do. She babysat me the whole day. She didn't have to talk about anxiety with me for an extended period of time. I think she's a great player. I find it really funny. Like, I just want to say this. Like, I've been told a lot of times that I've been called bitter this season. Mm-hmm. I've been told I don't have a social game in the past. But, like, that's what people have been saying to me for years now. So forgive me if I have a little bit of a hard time with someone like Victoria being very cold and talking about her anxiety. Mm-hmm. Like, extensively with me the night she votes me out. Like, that's that's where I struggle a little bit. But is she a great player? Oh, hell yeah. She knew what she was doing.
So can you just explain a little bit more about what you mean? You feel like that there are some things that are should be out of bounds for people to talk about in the game as a way to get an in. Like, there are some subjects that players shouldn't use to make a bond with another person.
No, I absolutely think players are entitled to use whatever they want to make any bond with anyone. Right. Sarah swore on her son's life in Game Changers consistently to me. Victoria talked about anxiety the night she voted me out. Gavin squeezed my hand. I did put my hand out. So, like, what was he supposed to do? Not squeeze my hand? Mm-hmm. Like, Gavin, you did the right thing, even though I like was annoyed, very annoyed. He knows that. But what I'm saying is the fandom can't expect that I'm not going to have a reaction to a human as a human being to that being used as a tactic in a game.
Okay. Do you want to talk about going to the edge of the extinction?
So I get voted out and I'm like, damn, that's really awful. It really sucked.
Yeah.
Like, I heard Jeff say my name, and I thought Wendy was going to vote for me. And I think I said, when I held up the Big Wendy, I said, Big Wendy, if it's not to you tonight, then you're Sandra Diaz Twine, part two. And then I went to the end of the path, and I walked past the sign, and the producers were there, and they're like, Aubrey, go back. And I went back, and I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to go to the edge of extinction. Are you kidding me? And then I almost lit my hair on fire with a torch. And then, I felt like I was being kidnapped.
We didn't get to see you arrive on the edge of extinction. We saw you the next day on the edge of extinction. It was two-hour episode. And so you were the only person where it was like you got voted out. And then immediately we're seeing you on the edge talking about it.
I was so excited to be with new people.
Yeah.
The night I went to the edge of extinction, I was stripped of my idol and my extra vote. And I was just so excited to see new people.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I love you guys. Who are you? And that's when I started hearing everybody's story. And man, were those stories rich and ripe.
When you say everybody's story about the, how they got blindsided. And
oh, Rob, everybody's story about how they got blindsided, who they're related to, who their fiance is, what their mother's name is, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything about the crew that has, was already there.
Yeah. Did you like that as somebody who I think that you've described yourself in the past as somebody who collects these
collects weird
personalities?
Hell yeah.
And without sort of the trappings of the game, or at least to a lesser degree, did that was that part of it fun to get to, you know, get to really know all of these characters that are going to come through?
So let me tell you about the most fun. So now I'm going to liven up and get a little more sassy, that I'm on the edge and not in this weird dream world of the beginning of Survivor 38. I get to the edge of Extinction, and it's Chris, it's Reem and Keith versus Chris and Rick.
Yeah.
And I shit you not, that dynamic, like, they didn't know. They were in such a mind game like I was. They were like, what if we can vote each other out? Like, what's going on? Like, it was definitely Reem and Keith together, Chris and Rick, and Chris... They were like against each other, but then Reem had this thing where she's like, let's not fight in front of Aubrey. She's our new guest, bro. Aubrey's our new guest, bro. Like, she's a returning player. We want to make her comfortable.
Dude. Yeah.
Dude, like, whatever, dude. So then there was this whole thing where, like, they had gotten the, we got like this clue the day before. And I guess Keith went off before everybody was agreed upon, ready to look for the clue. And they were, I was like, what are they talking about that night? And then the next morning, another clue shows up and they're like, Keith, you're not going to run away again. I'm like, what the F is happening? Like, what are they talking about? So everybody starts scrambling and it's like Rick and Chris versus Keith and Reem. And at a certain point, I'm looking for the, whatever the clue. I was looking up on the top of the hill where we got the rice, which was legit like a 1,000-foot mountain that you climbed up like a mountain goat and you had no energy left after, like you thought you were going to die.
Yeah.
And I was looking up there and they had this huge fight down on the bottom when Keith found the box in the water and then Chris accused Reem of letting Keith get it. So little did I know, as they're having a screaming match heard around the world, I'm up at the top of the mountain crying, being like, I feel like I'm in a video game. What happened to me? Oh my God, blah, blah, blah. And I come down and they're like having a war, but it's like, Aubrey's here. We're not going to fight. And I was like, what the hell?
You were like a distinguished guest.
I felt like a therapist a bit on the edge of Extinction.
Mm-hmm.
But as time went on, like, Reem became my therapist. And like, Chris and I would have really good conversations and I'd have good ones with Rick.
Chris talked to me about how he said that you and he sort of had conversations about what the edge was going to be and what it wasn't going to be.
We did. Yeah, Chris and I had a conversation. I think it may have been right after Keith and Wendy went, and it started before that, where we kind of were like, okay, what is this going to be? Are we going to force people out or not force people out?
Mm-hmm.
And I really wanted to be evil. Like, I've always wanted to be a villain, and something I learned on this season is that I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be.
Yeah.
And we kind of came to this conclusion that we weren't going to do that.
Yeah.
But it was an extensive, it was like a long conversation about, like, what's the benefit? What are the drawbacks with what we know, what we don't know? We don't know if the edge ends, if it starts again, if we're gone, if people are here. So, yeah, we decided to keep it.
Right.
Positive.
Because after that moment that you described where we had that big fight between Reem and Chris,
my God.
we almost never see anything antagonistic again on the edge of Extinction, except for when War Dog showed up.
Yeah, well, Chris really knew how to push Reem's buttons. I will say that.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, at one point I had a conversation with him. He's like, I don't know what to do with her. And I had, like, a conversation with him for, like, a full 45 about, like, this is how Reem, this is what Reem cares about. Like, she really cares about you. She's a very passionate person. Like, maybe you could start the conversation this way. So I really did at times feel like, as much as I was like an insane person out there when I'm like, let's effing do it, I was also had this like very tender side on the edge of Extinction. And I did. I talked to Chris about like how he could better speak to Reem.
Yeah.
I did. And the other thing I want to say about The Edge before I forget is that, like, I know we saw the boys getting the fish, and I've heard a lot about, like, Chris caught Aubrey fish, so that's why she voted for him. You know what? I was catching the lion's share of that food on that place. I was going out every day getting conch. I would get, like, sometimes, like, 4 to 5 a day. I would pull these Fijian conch out of the water. I knew how to spot them from snorkeling as a kid. I would just walk out there. I would get them. I'm getting, like, enraged as I actually talk about this, because I really provided for a lot of those people. And I would come out of the water and I would kill them by smashing them against the rock. Sorry, PETA. And we would make conch. Yeah. And I was, and those things had, like,
what is it? That's like the big shell.
Yeah, it's like the big shell that they blow and you hear the noise. Yeah. And I was finding the damn food.
And what's in there? Like a slug?
It looks like a huge tongue. It's like a big piece of protein. It's got to be like a third of a pound of protein, Rob.
Okay.
And I was finding that food. I thought, I mean, are you kidding me? Anything was good. We were trying to catch rats at one point on The Edge.
Yeah.
That stuff was good. So I just want to say, for all you golden boys who like to get your screen time by catching fish, this scrappy little bitch is over there feeding you conch. Just how to say it.
Yeah. So Big Wendy's going to come. You're going to have your shot to get back into the game. And so you guys are going to go to this challenge.
Yeah.
How are you feeling going into the challenge to somebody's going to get back in?
I felt murderous going into the challenge. I wanted to scare the shit out of all the people left in the game. I couldn't wait to see their faces. Mm-hmm. I couldn't wait to see them because the thing that repeatedly came back to me was how people were bragging about how they got me out, like, for an extended period of time, where I'm like, yeah, like, congratulations. You voted somebody out. Well done. Yeah, you got me. But it was also like, all right, we know. So I just wanted to look them in the eye. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was pissed. You kidding me? I want to be in that game. I'm coming for blood. Why else are you there if you're not coming for blood?
Yeah. Okay. So remind me, were you close? Or were you at the maze at the same time that it was? I remember Wendy and Rick and Chris were there.
Yeah.
Were you in the mix?
I had no chance. I can't do ball mazes on Survivor.
Yeah. Have you done it before?
Not that one. Yeah. But any ball maze I either sucked at or was not part of the
was
ball
not
maze.
Your thing.
No, finesse.
Yeah.
When there's an opportunity to choke with a ball and up in the air, I'm not doing it. I do balls on the ground. I played field hockey, not balls in the air.
Okay. So you must have thought, okay, well, this is it. I had my shot to get back in the game.
Yeah.
And now, okay, well, let's do lunch at the Ponderosa.
Yeah, Chris and I were like, we're getting hammered tonight. Woo! Oh, that was the biggest emotional roller coaster of my life. We thought we were done, and then we weren't.
And then you weren't. And Jeff says you guys are going to go have the chance to go back to the, or go back if you want, to the Edge of Extinction. And you guys celebrate. You seem very. You guys seem like you're going nuts. Was that just a, like, do you feel like you have to do that, or were you actually excited?
Oh no, I would say of those reactions, I'm pretty sure mine is the most. Like, I was like, hell yeah, another chance to stay in this game, Jeff. I'll be here till the beginning of season 39 filming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're gonna have to kick me off this.
You'll work
beach
on the giant heads.
Yeah, I, Rob, you know me so well. I love my art. I was ready to start working on those heads of, like, Rob and Sandra. Hell yeah. Like, that's the thing about me. Like, as much as I'm sensitive and an empath and a therapist, oh, Aubrey, their journey, gugga mugga. Yeah, I'm a competitor. I wanted to play. And if there was a chance, you're going to have to peel me off the top of that damn mountain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the thing I'm proudest of. When you do see me on the edge, I'm always trying to tie my shoes or run out of frame to find whatever I can to claw my way back in.
Yeah.
I love Survivor. I'm there to win.
Yeah.
And I am ruthless. And that's why I do respect players, like, ones that are ruthless. Like, I respect that Vic is ruthless. I respect that Rick busted his ass. I respect Sarah Lucina because she's ruthless. I'm ruthless in my way.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to win.
Yeah.
I was going to beat them all.
So you go back.
Yeah.
And Chris, Keith and Big Wendy are, how soon when you get back there are they like, we've made a terrible mistake?
Yeah, it was immediately apparent, I would say. Like, we had the, like, pleasantries, and then it was clear that it wasn't for them and that they were going to be departing.
What was your reaction when you found out that you were going to be on the jury?
Oh, wow. The jury was like the next day. Oh, are you kidding me? I was psyched.
Mm-hmm.
I was psyched. I mean, I personally, like, I was just excited to be there, and to be on the jury was really cool, because something that I do think sometimes we forget that every player sees how you play in the game, and I was excited we were going to have something to show for it.
Yeah. So the Edge of Extinction being the jury, I mean, you sat in front of a jury.
Yes, I did.
You were on a regular jury.
I did. Yep.
And now you were on this jury.
Correct.
How did that dynamic change the jury for this season?
The jury for this season saw your game front to back. Like, they saw every part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It gave you more of a 360 degree view
mm-hmm.
of what the person did.
Yeah.
And can you be a little more specific?
Well, in terms of...
Because that's such a big question.
Yeah.
It's hard to, like, pare back
so
in a sentence.
So you have the unique experience of that you've sat in front of the jury, but you've also been on a normal jury in Game Changers.
Uh-huh.
That was, like, I'm presumably, like, hanging out during the pod. I know you were only there for a day or two before you get to the final tribal council. But, you know, you're sort of like people are hanging out, partying, like doing the normal juries, Ponderosa stuff.
Yes.
And then go to tribal council at night. And I wonder...
With the mentality.
Do you go to, like, a tribal council at the Edge of Extinction, and then the whole next day is just, like, going over what happened at tribal council? Like, it was, like, the greatest, like, Game of Thrones episode?
I mean, like, what else? We're on the Edge of Extinction, like, you're climbing the mountain for food in the morning, mm-hmm. which is, like, arduous. You're looking for advantages. You're catching food. You're doing, like, season one survival stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to stay warm. Like, I make the joke about rocks. Like, I would heat rocks in the fire, put them over my heart because that would warm your core. Like, that's, you're focused on, like, very base level stuff. And, like, that's the other thing. It was harder in that there was no opportunity to get rewards. So you're like focusing on trying to get food, doing that stuff. And of course, you're going to be talking about what happened the next day. And then someone gets voted out and you want to get their perspective of what was really going on. So of course, that's the format of the season. You're
mm-hmm.
talking about everything going on.
Yeah.
And good, bad, and ugly. You're hearing about who couldn't stop talking about voting you out. You're talking about who liked you and didn't like you, what that person really meant, how that person said something, but, oh, this is what was really happening, who has an idol, who doesn't. You're talking about all of it.
So what I'm having a hard time with in sort of like reconciling this season, as somebody who was there on the Edge of Extinction for so much, do you feel like that it... If they would have shown more of what was going on the Edge of Extinction,
mm-hmm.
would people feel differently about it? Or
yes.
Was yes?
Yeah, I mean, that's the challenge, is like the Edge of Extinction truly was the most incredible place, the incredible experience I've had on Survivor,
mm-hmm.
like without a doubt. Like, there was healing going on. There was crying going on. I mean, healing over drinks and food is different than healing over having nothing when you're still with the people that voted you out. So things are still like very raw, but getting resolved in real time. So where people are in the healing process when they're also on the jury, if you're on the Edge of Extinction, it's different than if you're at Ponderosa mm-hmm. and then on the jury.
I know a lot of the fans have a negative opinion on the Edge of Extinction.
Yes.
Never want to see it again.
I love it.
There's value in the Edge of Extinction.
Yep.
Yes.
There's unbelievable value. I think it's hard in the context of 43 minutes a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was a very incredible but grand vision that's a little bit tough in the context of a 43-minute primetime network television show.
So... Is that include from the like mechanics of the game of Survivor, or just the experience of being there is like transcendent, as opposed to you saying that like you also like that it's people on this journey to get back into the game ultimately?
Yeah, for me, like the Edge of Extinction, I kind of referenced Survivor season one. I would say that a lot. I was like, is this what it was like where you were trying to figure it out and figure out what the game was and figure out how it worked and you're like finding your food and you don't really know what's coming? And it was like, I mean, I can't even describe to you, like some things feel too sacred to even like bring up, but people would be like, I'm here. I don't appreciate this at home and I should. Like, oh my gosh, like I care about this game so much, but there's so much more to care about. Like, people are having like life revelations and epiphanies and then also squabbling about the game. It was like this big waiting room of heaven and hell. Like Joe and I always called it that little slice of heaven and hell. Mm-hmm. And the things that would happen there are things I've never seen on Survivor. Like for me, it took Survivor and it's the thing that I see in Jeff's eyes when he really cares about the game, which is that for him, it is a deep study in human nature. And that happened on the edge of extinction.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was a psychological experiment like I don't think you've ever seen on the show, and I think the fans would absolutely love it. I just think that it was hard to reconcile that with what they saw, like, happening game-wise. Does that... I mean, I know I sound like a lunatic, but the Edge of Extinction, it was a mood. It was something different.
Yes. I understand what you're saying. It's still hard to wrap my head around it, but because
you had to be there.
But I understand you had to be there.
You did. And it's
was
tough.
It was the suffering.
I mean, yeah, like the shared suffering. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a lot of suffering. It's suffering, and like we're connected to our phones, and like we want things cheap and a lot in this society, and we want things quickly and things happen immediately. And to go, and in a way, Survivor is a game replicates that. Things are always moving, the vibe is always shifting, mm-hmm. The social strategic dynamics are like you're constantly going through them, like a poker player if you're a war dog. But on the edge of extinction, you had a battle what it was when that all came to an abrupt stop,
mm-hmm.
And you didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And you had to like look in a mirror and you had to face who you really were.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's another challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I know people might not like it. They might not understand it. And like, I can't say to fault somebody who's a fan of the show, watches and says, well, I wasn't there, so I don't get it. Like, I understand, but that was just what the season was.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't going to quit. What am I supposed to do? If you don't like the edge of extinction, I can't take it away. Like, I can't tell you how many people have come to me and complained. And it's like, sorry you're not happy. Why don't you contact CBS? It was the most incredible experience of my life. And what am I supposed to do? Pretend that those days didn't happen?
Mm-hmm.
It was part of the game. Part of my game was I had the idol. I didn't tell anybody about it because if I got somehow a miracle to the end, I wanted to use it that I hadn't told anybody. Mm-hmm. But Joe.
Yeah.
When I had the... I love it. Yeah. I'm like, it's like
air.
I'm on the show. I'm like, hold for the airplane?
Yes.
Hold for the
You're
airplane?
Good. We're good. We don't do that on podcasts. This is a first. Let it be part
okay,
of
cool.
this. This is our edge
Help,
of extinction.
We need food on the edge.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sick of hearing the same stories over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So where were we? Oh, and also the other thing that was funny is like I found the advantage of the practice poll.
Right.
And Joe is my biggest ally. I didn't tell him.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like trying to squirrel away. Like if I found any advantage, like I didn't tell Joe about that. Like trying to build my own mini resume over on the edge just in case I got back in.
Yeah.
But I did get an extra vote with that. And I consulted with Joe before I gave it to Aurora because Joe was my person and he was my second priority mm-hmm. if it wasn't me.
Can you talk about your relationships with some of the other people on the edge? And
sure,
I guess
I would love
let's start with Chris.
Chris, I was really close to Chris.
Mm-hmm.
I struggled with how he would sometimes push Reem's buttons.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, did he know how to.
Mm-hmm.
I told him before the show, I'm like, you know, buddy, you know I love you. And we had these amazing conversations. But you might hear some things I say that you don't want to hear.
Yeah.
But Chris, I really appreciate Chris because he's always someone who wants to improve. He's motivated. He's logical, but understands his emotions as well. He was my bro.
Yeah.
He was my homie. Like, we were bros.
Okay.
We were bros.
What about Reem? You love Reem.
Oh, I love Reem. Reem is my girl. Whatever, dude. I say it all the time now. Reem... Sometimes I was like, oh, Reem, like I will never forget the day War Dog came and we heard for literally weeks what she was going to say to him. I'm oil, you're water. You're water, roll over there. And I go to Joe. She's like, I'm not going to disrupt anybody tonight. I don't want to bother Eric. She's like, I'm not going to bother you tonight. War Dog gets there and I go to Joe. 10, 9, 8. I get to like 7 and they're like duking it out.
Yeah.
So Reem, you know what? I just wish there were more people like Reem on this world. Like some people might get rubbed the wrong way that she's up front, but damn, I love her. She is who she is. She makes no apologies.
Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah. She's wonderful.
Like so much. And she's like my mom too.
Mm-hmm. She
and my dad.
She is literally like your mom, or she is like a mom.
No, she reminds me more of my father.
I am not a mom. I am not a mom. What did she say to Keith?
Yeah, I don't want to be a mom, dude. Like whatever, bro. She's my mom. She's my dad. She's my best friend. Yeah. She's all of it. Yeah. Yeah, she's a nut too. I love her so much. Mm-hmm.
I'm very much looking forward to chatting with her soon.
Ask her about Jeff Daly, her husband. Only speaks about him by his full name. Mm-hmm. We talked about Reem's bagel a lot out there, which
is
I
saw you posted.
Oh, yeah, I posted
Instagram.
About check out my Twitter, my Reem Daly fan account. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So then, of course, you have a great relationship with Joe the whole way through.
My homie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, who else?
Eric
is somebody. Eric's I really don't know anything about.
He's so interesting.
Ron said Eric is the greatest guy.
He's so
should have won the game. Ron
yeah,
said.
Eric was a huge threat. In the game, I didn't necessarily feel comfortable with Eric all the time. It was hard for me. We had some really personal conversations I don't want to get into, but it was tough because then he betrayed me. But yeah, Eric is a very deep spiritual person, and I know that the Edge of Extinction affected him on as deep a level as it did me, and I very much appreciate that, though I had some feelings of being hurt, but we did get to talk about them.
Okay. Julia?
Yeah, Julia and I, for some reason, just did not click.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. I think...
Even at the Edge?
No, we were okay. We definitely, like, it wasn't always easy. Like, I had some difficult conversations with her where I was like, do you know how hard it was? Like, you wouldn't look me in the eye when we were trying to talk. Like, I struggled with that. And she was like, sorry, it's a game. Like, that's just how it is. And I was like, Julia, I know it's a game. This is my third time playing. But, like, I've literally been, like, shit on for my social game for, like, 3 years now. Do you realize, like, yeah, it's just a game. But if you got to the end, like, you didn't even make an effort with me, really, that I felt was genuine. I could have never voted for you because you never tried. So like we didn't see things eye to eye, but I really appreciated in Julia how the Edge of Extinction like really affected her in this incredible way where she was able to kind of like come to terms with some personal stuff. And I was really happy we got to see that about her father. And that tribal council that she was in was like the most amazing thing I've ever seen. So
yeah,
we just didn't click. I almost felt like there was this anticipation of like Julia told me she was like me, just like I told her I was like her. And there's like this anticipation of we were supposed to work together. But that almost like made it harder when we couldn't. The birds are getting nuts here, Rob.
Yeah.
Oh, I like this.
Yes.
My first word when I was a baby.
This is all part of the ambiance here.
Yeah, I think I'm going to come back as a bird.
Okay. Yes.
Maybe.
Are you going to talk about past lives in this podcast?
Maybe. We'll see where
we'll
go. I don't want to ramble on people.
Okay.
Talk about my journey too much.
Look, then we're weeding the people out that are not going to get to that
Brent,
point.
Get the hell off the podcast now.
Okay. So, what are the other returnees? I know that you were close with David when coming into the game.
Yeah, David. It was tough. We never connected in the game.
Yeah.
I feel like we had a very different experience in the game.
Mm-hmm. Why? That he was not in the same plane in terms of the Edge of Extinction?
I think it was because David started on Manu. Like, we just had, like, absolutely nothing in common in the game. And I think that I was dealing with some personal, like, I've alluded to and very clearly said things and about Survivor as a whole that David wasn't quite dealing with.
Okay. What about Kelly?
I have to say, though, David and Kelly really scrapped. I was very impressed. And David did an amazing job of integrating himself with the new players. And I give him a lot of credit for that. Kelly, I'd met Kelly once at Hearts of Reality. We found a $20 bill together on the ground and had a beer together. Mm-hmm. And I liked her. I was scared of Kelly. I think on the boat, I looked up and I was like, I went next to her. I'm like, oh my God, she's going to look for an advantage. And I was like, I'm not coming for you. And she didn't hear me. She's like, what? And I'm like, I'm scared. It's Kelly Wentworth. Oh my God, I'm going to find an idol and beat you, Kelly. And then when I met Kelly, like, she's super tough, but she was like very vulnerable.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I get along really, really, really well with Kelly because she's like super logical. I'm super emotional. But we both have the ability to kind of see the other way of thinking, and we get along really well.
Mm-hmm.
I love Kelly. She's so strong.
Yeah.
She took a lot of heat from people this season, and I would say I have empathy for Kelly.
She took heat from the fans?
Yeah, I think this season, I'm not going to speak for Kelly's experience, but I do think sometimes people were like, Kelly's evil, Kelly's the villain. I'm like, but you loved her when she was like this the last time, but she was on the bottom. And like in the context of that time and place in that season,
yeah,
you liked that attitude.
Yeah,
and
I,
you didn't
I,
like
I didn't
it now.
I didn't see her as, yeah, as a villain in any
way. She was frustrated and tired. And a little more, like, I cry. I'll say, let's effing do it. And, like, got mad at Gavin. Like, he's gonna squeeze your hand and vote you out. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we just have a different way of showing it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With Survivor, it's really hard to keep coming back. It's especially,
yes,
you know, that the first time you play
it's magic.
You that I know I can speak from my first experience. Could do no wrong.
Yep.
Everything you're doing, people are loving.
Yep.
And then the more they see you,
yep,
the more that they find your flaws.
I mean, it's just like, yeah, it's super funny. Like, if we're going to get into that a little bit, is like I said that I don't need external validation. It only comes from within. And that's very true. And I wrote a piece kind of like when it all ended. I have this really torn thing of with Survivor right now, like very mixed emotions of I love it and I hate it. Like, mm-hmm, I almost didn't want to talk to you. It's you. That's why I'm talking to you. But it's this thing where I really don't care what people have to say and I'm tired, but I felt so ostracized from the moment I jumped off that boat this time. And this game, this show, I feel it in my heart, like I'm holding my heart as I speak, has meant so much to me, mm-hmm, that even though like I don't care what people have to say online, it is hard for me that I feel like I am not even granted the opportunity, or like people don't even want to hear my side of the story, or just like, oh, well, you're bitter now and you're this and you're that after I've put so much into it.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm torn. Like, I don't care what people think, but I'm just like, this is part of my identity and I don't feel welcome anymore. So it's difficult.
You don't feel welcome.
I don't feel welcome.
In the world of Survivor.
It was really hard. I came home this time and I had friends actually who were players who didn't want to speak to me. And I actually understand.
Why?
Because it hurt them that I didn't tell them I was going out there. But I have reconciled like most, mm-hmm, of that. And I've had those conversations and I like really understand why it hurt people that I said I wouldn't go back again. And I like blindsided them and went. Like, I really, really, yeah, understand.
But I get where you're coming from,
yeah,
on that.
And those friendships are actually the most special ones I'd say I have now, mm-hmm, because we've had like really hard conversations of like, you hurt me because X, but I value you outside of Survivor. And that means the world. And those are the people, mm-hmm, where I'm not talking about the game with them anymore.
Right. So,
yes.
I know a lot of people want to hear you talk about the Final Tribal Council.
Yeah, I know. Let's get to it if you want.
And your vote.
Yeah, yeah.
And for some reason that you have been a lightning rod for people in terms of,
yeah,
frustration of Chris was the winner and not Gavin, even though Chris,
yeah,
was voted,
sure,
out. And I that for whatever reason,
yeah,
you of, you know, of any of the returnees seems to have absorbed. I don't see much of like, hey, David Wright, what are you thinking? Hey, Joe, what are you thinking?
Yeah,
but
it's hard
for that. It seems like that I've seen most people that I see angry about this.
They're
in terms
mad
of
me.
The mad at you.
That's fine.
In terms of how could Aubrey vote for a person
who
got voted
out? How could
Aubrey
do this to somebody else? Well, all right. So how do I break it down? First of all, I would say that the frenzy around me as a player, like, I think I've remained fairly... I had always tried to remain cognizant of everybody's respective opinion mm-hmm. in terms of the result of 32. I don't think that I complained about it. I tried to be classy as much as I could. I've had my moments where, like, yes, I would have voted for myself. So F and sue me. I think every player at the end is like, I would have voted for myself. I'm sure Troy would have voted for himself at the end of 34. Like, really, guys, come on. But it's just frustrating because the frenzy around what happened to me in 32, like, yeah, it was devastating. It stayed with me to this day. But the frenzy is like the court of internet opinion. It's not always the things I say. In fact, if anything, I think I have had not very much of an opportunity to have a voice, because anytime I say anything, it becomes so polarizing that I can't have it. Or I go on a podcast with someone and they try to force me to say something polarizing and jam words down my mouth when that's not my style of how I want to say it. And if you want me to say I'm robbed, I'm not going to say I'm robbed, because nobody deserves to go on Survivor. You put in a tape and you get lucky, and nobody deserves to win. And I'm 32, the winner won rightfully. She won fairly. Would I have voted for her? No. And every season is a time and a place, and every person is entitled to judge how they want to judge in the context of that season. And I have never said I got screwed. Mm-hmm. I have never said, like, oh my God, it's so unfair. Oh, I'm a victim. If anything, I think I've never played the victim. And so that's why I get very frustrated that I'm so thankful to you, Rob, that I'm allowed to have a voice. Because the other thing I would say is people are telling me, like, Aubrey's bitter. And I'm like, okay, I'm bitter. Oh, Aubrey also didn't have a social game in 32. Okay, all right, cool. So I get in trouble when I want to evaluate people on the very things that I get criticized for. Like, there's so much input and it's so insane. Mm-hmm. And like, I saw stuff where people were saying, like, oh, if Rick gets the end and Aubrey doesn't vote for her, it's going to be just like her in 32. Oh, if Victoria gets the end and Aubrey doesn't vote for her, it's Aubrey's fault. I'm like, what the hell? I can't do anything right. So do you want to know why I voted for Chris? Because I haven't regretted it for a day since I came home.
Yeah.
For me, Gavin didn't articulate his game throughout the entire season. Mm-hmm. Like, I would sit in tribal council and I'd be like, damn, like, he's there, but he's kind of just like going with the numbers. And I know other players who have kind of like gone with the numbers or whatever, but they were kind of articulating it along the way. That was kind of what they were doing. It was a little more clear. It was less opaque. I never felt like, if we're going to do pilots and passengers, Gavin was never the pilot to me mm-hmm. in any vote that he was in. I just didn't get the impression, and he just didn't articulate it to me in that way. Socially, was he great? Yeah, like, he actually was. He made me in the game feel really great. But the thing that he did for me at the end that was super difficult, and it was like, I was like, no, don't say this. Don't say this, Gavin, was when the Edge of Extinction came up, he essentially said that it was a disadvantage to him, that the twist was a disadvantage. And number one, nobody deserves to be on Survivor. It's lucky if you're there. You had the opportunity. That's what you were presented. That was the hand of cards you were given.
Yeah.
And then for him to, in essence, it felt like he was invalidating mm-hmm. the 35 days of my play. And I was like, but you can't say that you were at a disadvantage. All of us live this.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, for me is, like, people were saying, what they say, I Aubrey'd Gavin. Is that what they've been saying? I think so. Here's the deal. Chris played the game the way I showed I value the game in 32. Did I cross a name out I shouldn't have? Yes. Did I do things I shouldn't have? Yeah, probably. But everyone makes mistakes in Survivor. I don't think any Survivor player can say that they're perfect, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say you're perfect?
Oh, definitely not. In anything.
And Chris made the most of the time that he had. Mm-hmm. He had a hand of cards, and he was he had free agency and he did what he had to do. Was I supposed to penalize him that he got back in the game when he did? Like, that was the game presented to me. And he articulated it and he did everything he needed to do. Mm-hmm. And we did. We talked about it on the edge. We were like, if you get in, the only way you can win is if you do this, 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 and this. He did every single thing. For me, Chris did everything that you need. Chris did more in the days he was in the game than many people I see who get to the final three.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just funny for me to hear that I'm bitter when, like, I don't want to be the person who's like, well, I had this experience, so this proves that I'm not bitter. I voted for Sarah, and she swore on her son's life to me over and over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But she played the best game. Chris, I'm sorry, Chris played the best game. I don't see what the hoopla is. I don't, like, do you want me to pretend that the edge of extinction didn't happen? Do you want me to pretend I wasn't trying to kill rats, climbing a 1,000-foot mountain, eating nothing, losing 25 pounds in 35 days?
Yeah.
Would you like me to pretend I wasn't in the middle of screaming matches all the time? Just sitting there waiting with nothing and no indication. Like, you go ahead and do that. If you've got a problem with it, go out and live on the edge of extinction and come back and tell me that I'm not allowed to vote that way. I just didn't get what I needed from Gavin. And if he gave it to me, I was going to vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't give it to me.
Was it close?
Was it close? It was close for me until Gavin said that the twist was a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's where it was over for me.
So, Julie, any consideration? Was anybody thinking about giving votes to Julie?
No.
Okay.
I think it was tough for Julie that people saw her as emotional, and I definitely saw more of her game when I watched the season.
Yeah.
For sure. Yes. Was I going into the tribal thinking, I was like, I did think Chris had done more with what mm-hmm. I had seen at tribals, but I was willing to hear the others, and I did until I heard that. But Julie, yeah, Julie's really strong. I really like Julie. I just think she wasn't appreciated in that group of people. I don't know.
Going into the final tribal council on the edge of extinction, were there people stumping really hard for any of the candidates?
The final tribal?
Yes.
No, it was just like more of a four.
That's Ponderosa. That's Ponderosa.
Yeah. No, just all War Dog would do is talk about Victoria. So then when she got voted out, I was like, she would have been a great person to go to the end and win because she was like sneaky and strategic. I would have been like, well, tell me about your social game. I need you to prove to me why you had to do certain things a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But the most of the stumping was War Dog for Victoria, like incessantly. Rick would have won unequivocally if he was at the end. Stumping, we were talking about it, but more in pods. Because Ponderosa, let me tell you, you want to talk about this crew? There was a ranking system.
Ranking system?
Oh, yeah. If you're a zero, I'll talk to you. You're my ride or die. If you're a number one, I'll talk to you in a group chat. If you're number three, I'll talk. Yeah, this group wasn't fun for me.
Wait, I don't understand.
Yeah. This group, so we were all kumbaya on the edge of extinction. We got to Ponderosa. We were great for a few days. And then they had like a social ranking system of like, is someone your 0, 1, 2, or 3? So like the beef wasn't with the people still in the game. It was like the people on the edge of extinction started turning on each other.
I still don't get
it.
Where is this ranking of like, if so, okay, this person is my zero, then like, who's keeping track of these numbers?
And so there was a group at Ponderosa who came up with a system for ranking friendships in the cast.
Yeah.
So I know I'm not articulating very well, but what I would say is this was a very strange Ponderosa where people were like clicking up. So if there was canvassing happening, it was happening in small groups of people.
What was it like for you to ultimately leave the edge of extinction? And the Ponderosa videos were wonderful.
Oh my God,
wonderful.
It was amazing. Yeah. That Ponderosa was incredible and it was so beautiful and peaceful for a bit.
Yeah.
And
I wish more people would have seen it because it was presented in like a clunky way of like 9 different videos, and I don't know why they just didn't put it as like one.
I actually
like
loved
45
it like
minute
that.
Video.
I did. I felt like the Ponderosa and the Edge of Extinction could have been its own show. I thought James did a masterful job. He captured all the positive moments of that experience for me. And I'm so eternally grateful for him because
I finally got to meet him.
He's amazing. Yeah. If you hear the like frustration and the rambling and not letting Rob talk and the passion and the somewhat anger that I have in me, there's as much gratefulness and gratitude and thankfulness. And the, and I'm touching my heart as I say this, the Ponderosa videos really reminded that and solidified that for me.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the journey that you've been on now after the season? Because what I'm trying to understand is that I feel like you've told me two different things about how you've had the most amazing experience on the Edge of Extinction.
Like the most brutal.
But then also that this was a very traumatic experience for you that you didn't, that you were very affected by it in a negative way when you came away from the season.
No, I wouldn't say it was negative. I would say that the Edge of Extinction showed me that there were a lot of things I thought I'd processed from Survivor as a whole, the first and second times.
Yeah.
And I had not admitted to myself how much they had affected me because I felt guilty saying that a reality show had affected my life as much as it had.
Yeah.
And I never admitted to myself how much it had affected me. Mm-hmm. So I got home and it was brutal. It was, I didn't feel like I was in my own body. At first I was very zen and people were like, what happened to you?
Yeah.
It was very strange because I was like, I was in the middle of nowhere. And they were like, okay, what? Like Troy talks about how I got home and I of course didn't tell anybody anything, just like I always do. And he was like, Aubrey? Like, what? He told me, he called Sarah and was like, what the hell happened to her out there?
Was he a guest at the finale? I saw him.
Yeah, Troy Zan was. My dad couldn't make it.
I saw him in pictures, and I figured that that's where he came from.
He was. He was my guest. He was very supportive of me after, as were other people. Bradley actually became my camping buddy and was incredibly friendly to me, wonderful to me. He had just finished his season of Survivor, so I think our like stars aligned in terms of like an unlikely crew. When we're not trying to kill each other, we're good friends.
I saw him on the finale night also.
Yeah, he's there.
And he was talking about if he's going to come. If am I invited to ever come back on the podcast? Does Nicole hate me?
Misunderstood. So I did have some. I was processing a lot. I'd say I'm still processing stuff. In December, I still felt like super duper off, like body wise. I was very depleted. I was vitamin D deficient. Like, how the heck does that happen?
Time in the sun.
Yeah, it was wacky. I felt like crap for a while. I had a hard time gaining weight back. I didn't have an appetite for months.
Yeah.
And then in December, I went home to Boston to my therapist who had known me all the way through Survivor. Traditional therapist, and she heard me talking about how I felt like ungrounded. Was like, she's like, you're not grounded, this sensation of not being in your body. So I went to an energy healer in Salem, Massachusetts. The most I can really just like Reiki, if people do kind of Reiki stuff, but basically she kind of sees what your energy is, where you have blocks, where you're more open. And I started the session outside of the room with her. She kind of senses what's going on. I walked in the room and she said, oh my gosh, you're here, but you're not here. And I was like, yeah. And she said, it's so interesting with you. She said, there are a lot of people who have some kind of strange animosity or jealousy toward you. I'm like, well, I felt like when I got home, other players were like annoyed I got a third chance. And I was like, I'm so grateful for it. But like, I don't think I'm special. Like, and that was, I just wanted people to be my friend. It was really lonely. And she picked up on that. And she said, it's so hard. The very people that you relate to are the very people that are like coming out for, like want to get you out or something. And she didn't know anything about me. And she's talking about Survivor. So we went through some other stuff and we talked about how.
She didn't Google you or anything?
I mean, I don't think so. Okay. But she picked up on stuff.
Yeah.
People are going to be skeptical about that. So I'm not going to share more.
See, I was going to say that I was so surprised that you had that experience in back on the East Coast and not here in California.
Yeah, it was kind of weird because I had lived in Salem and it's a very special place to my heart. And this woman was just special at a time when I needed her.
Yeah.
And she picked up on, she was like, what's this thing with you and alpha men? You're like a lightning rod for them. You set mm-hmm. them off. What mm-hmm. is the deal? And I'm just like, oh, it's funny you should say that. I have yes. a history with that, especially on Survivor. But we talked about a lot of stuff. And then I got back to California and I looked into an intuitive healing program. And I've been studying that since January. Mm-hmm. I left my full-time job. I started my own freelance digital marketing social media agency. It's not an agency. It's just me. But it feels like a one-man agency. And I've been doing work freelance, and it's been wonderful.
What kind of work do you do?
I have a variety of clients mm-hmm. in the health and wellness space.
Yes. Yes.
And I do their social media marketing. So it's been really cool. Yeah. It's been really cool, and I'm doing the intuitive healing. And yeah, trying to just like get back to myself, be a little more focused. I mean, I think it's probably clear when people hear this, they're going to be like, why is Aubrey so scatterbrained? What's going on? It's mm-hmm. it's just so many separate emotions with this season.
Yes.
And it brought it all out. And all I can think of is, because I have to have an analogy is In Contact.
Yes, the Jodie Foster movie.
The Jodie Foster movie, there's only seconds that they said she was gone, and they recorded 18 hours of static.
Mm-hmm.
That was my experience over yeah. the past year.
I feel like
I did not have the same experience.
Yeah.
As anybody else.
This wasn't a journey for you of, you know, however many days on the edge of extinction.
No.
That this is a 3-year journey.
It was like
for you.
Freaking Frodo, man.
That you, yeah.
This and was I, a like, it's. I know people don't want to hear it. Like, that's the thing. Like, it's so hard. It's like, I don't care. This is who I
but
am.
But what do people want?
But
what,
it is.
Want
it's
hear
the thing.
Say.
It's like, I don't know what you want from me. Like, this is me.
Yeah.
And it's just frustrating when I've given so much of my time, my energy, my weight, my sanity, mm-hmm. everything to Survivor. And I can literally say to people like, well, do you want to like ask me a question about it? Or are you just going to yell to get off on your own voice?
Yeah.
It's frustrating that I don't feel included in that. And it's just frustrating. That's all.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, I don't want to give those people too much attention, but like, if you are this passionate about ripping apart people you watch on a reality show, hell yeah, did I sign up for it? Come at me, bro. But mm-hmm. I'm going to come back at you. And what I'm going to say is, why don't you go on the show? Why don't you go on the edge of extinction? And why mm-hmm. don't you try in your life to have a little empathy for somebody if you really care about the show that much? Because mm-hmm. I have empathy for you. Everybody has something they've been through.
Yeah.
It's just hard for me.
It's a no-win situation. I feel
it's
like,
not. And that's why after this, I'm logging off. I'm not going to
yeah.
look at the comments. I'm gone.
I think that's
I have to
my advice to you. That is my advice to you. I think that you need to.
I have to go.
You need to let people miss you, because then...
Yeah, I know. And that's the other thing that's really hard is like, Jeff called me and I knew. I was like, great, this is going to be that thing where it's too much of me and people don't want me there anymore. Mm-hmm. And there's this great article by Anne Hathaway. I think it's in Vanity Fair, where she talks about where she gets the impression that people were just sick of her. And you know what? You can think I'm on my high horse and I say I don't care, but I clearly do. But it's not that I'm not a victim. I can take that you don't agree with me. The thing that's hard is that I just have felt very ostracized, and mm-hmm. it's hard to feel ostracized from something that's been such an insane part of my life.
Yeah.
It's tough. And I know, like, I'm sorry, not sorry. I took an opportunity to do the thing I love. Like, I know that's difficult for people. But like, I would say this, if you have a problem with it, I wish you all the power in the world, all the good energy in the world to take whatever you're doing on a keyboard to transfer that into standing up off the couch, much like Cerie Fields, and pursuing your dream
mm-hmm.
and doing something positive in this world.
Yeah.
Instead of screaming at people on the internet.
And I really do think that when when people come to miss you, then I think you will be appreciated.
I don't even need to be appreciated. Like, I'm not a victim.
Yeah.
I'm not a victim at all. No, like, I will take you out. Like, you want to fight? I'll go on an Edge of Extinction challenge with you, and I'll give you the double bird. I just want to feel part of something.
Yeah.
And it's, I no longer feel like I'm allowed to feel a part of something that has been the most unbelievable transformative experience of my life that I have so much eternal gratitude for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so hard because it's so much gratitude and so much love, but then all of this, like, I'm exhausted of this shit, quite frankly.
Yeah. No, it's very toxic to, you know, be in this, you know, receiving end of, you know, a lot of negative feedback from people about a lot of different things.
Yep.
And I think that people just feel like, I think people can sense how much you care, whereas people like,
I can't not care.
Sandra or a Courtney, it's almost like you can't injure them because they don't care what you think.
Yeah, and that's the tough thing. And the thing is, I can say, like, I don't care. But when I say I don't care, it's more that's like my aspirational, what I don't care. Like, I logically know I shouldn't care, but I'm so sensitive. But then there's another part of it that's so funny.
And I get that. I get that also because I have that.
Yeah.
And
I'm glad to hear that.
What's nice about what I do for the most part is that if people don't want to listen to me, like, they don't have to listen to me. I'm not on Survivor constantly, where people aren't going to not watch Survivor because they don't like a person that's on it. Whereas for the most part, most of the, you know, it's not perfect, but most of the feedback I get tends to be mostly positive because people that really can't stand me don't listen. So that's what's nice about this. But I definitely experienced what you're talking about when I played two times right in a row.
The mixed feelings.
Where it was like all positive, you should have won the first time. And then the second time I did bad and everybody hated me. It wasn't even like that. Oh boy, I wish, like, it was like, you lost and you also really sucked. And, you know, it, please go away now. We're done. We don't want to hear from you.
Yeah.
You really sucked. And, so I understand that. And you want to say, no, but you know,
it's so hard. And it's not that I want to necessarily, like, the funny thing is in Koh Rong, when everybody was like supporting me, I would say to people, don't get too excited. The fandom can turn on a dime.
Yeah.
And I was very aware of that. I think for me, it's more the exhaustion of keeping up the public persona of like, oh my God, can I just be my freaking self? Like, can I just, like, go through a day where there's not an opinion about me?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I do social media for a living, which can make it a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I don't need, like, the adulation all the time. It's just, like, I'm tired. That's all it is. I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
I'm freaking tired. But then I can also see the levity in it. Like, that's the thing. I know I've been super serious because I'm, like, sitting here with a survivor, but I was with a friend this weekend, a new friend who watches the show but is, like, a normal person and, like, can talk about the intuitive stuff to a degree. And he was just like, I said, you know what? Like, I've missed weddings for the show and then I went and lost. This is, like, oh my God, like, what am I doing? I'm all torn up about a reality show. And he's just like, you can laugh about that, right? And I was like, yeah, I really can. Like, it's effing absurd. Like, children are dying. People are starving. People are at war.
That's right.
I get it.
Yeah.
But it's also my life. And if you're that, if a fan is that triggered by watching the show and getting so pissed off at someone that they're determined to, like, start a fight with them, I'm like, come on, we all need to be a little more, like, amusement oriented about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come on, guys. Like, hello.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, all of the release from this, I think, is going to come as you have successes
in other things. That was my frustration, is I thought that, like, when the finale, like, it was funny. There was a release when I got voted out. I was like, it was amazing. The second release was when Kelly got voted out.
Mm-hmm.
The episode after where they showed her on the Edge of Extinction and I was, like, hugging her and she was crying. I watched it with her.
Yeah.
And that was therapeutic because it was like the last returning player and she excellently articulated how I felt. And I think I expected the finale to be this other release, but it wasn't. It was more the, like,
back with everybody.
It was therapeutic to see the cast. Like, I have something nice I could say about everyone on this cast. I truly do. But it was more the like after, like people were so enraged. I'm like, oh my God, you're mad at me? I was just doing my best I could in that time and place. Like, come on, man.
I have some questions
please.
For you from
oh,
the listeners.
And oh, by the way, when you post in a patron group and you're nasty to people, just know it gets back.
Uh-oh.
Please, go.
Okay.
Just all letting
right.
people
please.
Know.
Please, everybody, control yourself.
I'm okay? just saying, like, don't think people can't see it. You're not that sneaky.
Okay. All right. That I don't like
and
to...
you're not that cute and you're not that funny.
I don't like to hear this. Okay. All right. I have to read these questions because now it's starting to get dark.
This please, is, yeah,
that we
sorry,
are like,
this
is like now
long.
Like turning into like tribal council.
Yeah,
with
how
us
long
now.
Am I going?
No, you're fine on the length. Are you cold?
No, are you kidding me?
Okay. Yes. No, this is you need
drop
to
drop it 50 degrees and then we'll talk.
Do you
about
need
it.
To cover yourself with your sail from the edge
yeah,
of extinction?
Sail,
can you talk about this?
Yeah, I've got the sail on the edge of extinction. I shared it with Julia. It yeah. was where we slept like a burrito every night. It's got holes in it. Does absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Aubrey presented me with a piece of the sail from the yeah. edge of extinction with a million holes in it.
Yeah.
And said, "Oh, you're not keeping this.
Yeah.
I'm just showing it to you. This
yeah.
is
I was like, you're not taking my thing. Sure.
This is my sail. Okay. All right. So many different questions,
so
but
angry.
so many of these things that we got to talk about.
I'm sure we did.
Okay. All right. This is a question for you from Caitlin, who says, would you play again after this experience?
I mean, I already said no once and then did it, but...
You said
I said no after 34, that I wouldn't.
Oh, no, you would not, but you were not... asked to be on another season
no.
and said no.
No, 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 no. I'm just saying that like I've lied about this before, so I feel weird answering this question, but like right now I have other adventures.
Did you lie about it? Or did you...
I told people I wouldn't play again, and then I went right back and played.
But I think it's... and again, this is like a Survivor thing. If you knew you were
yeah.
going to play again
yeah.
and said no, you wouldn't, then it's a lie. But if you really felt like you weren't going to play again and then were convinced to play again, I don't think that's a lie.
Okay. Well, right now, it's a no.
Okay. So, this is a question from Noah, who wants to know, who would you go on The Amazing Race with? Caleb and Ty were allegedly very close to going on The Amazing Race together and didn't, and missed the cut.
Who would I go on The Amazing Race with?
Is there a Survivor person?
Oh
is
my
it
God.
Troyzan?
Reem.
Reem. Yes.
Reem. Whatever, dude. We'd kick ass, man.
Carrie Gravelin wants to know, in which of your seasons did you have the most fun?
Most fun was season one.
Season one. Go wrong.
Infection and all.
Question from me. Who's the best player that you've ever played against in Survivor?
Sandra Diaz-Twine or Sarah Lucina.
I think
Sarah's like the most underrated player.
Not Suri.
Yeah, Suri too. I mean, it's those three.
Yeah.
Or like my personal Mount Rushmore of players.
Yeah.
But everyone's different in a different way. And I don't really think you can say like in a mm-hmm. vacuum, one person's a good player. It depends on the combination of people.
Jenny Autumn wants to say, hello, Queen Aubrey. I know you're a fellow astrology geek.
Yeah.
Did you learn your fellow castaway signs and
oh,
use
yeah.
any of this information to form bonds or inform decisions on who to trust and or how to communicate or talk to certain players? So this is a no.
Yes, I learned what they were. But like, for instance, Victoria's a Cancer sign and she is something else that's not... She must have other planets in there.
But do you ask a person in the game, like, hey, when's your birthday?
Yes, I do.
You do. And then you know it off... You don't have like a... You don't need a book or anything to tell you...
Yeah, we had
what.
A lot of Aries and Cancer. Like, Jules and Wardog were both Aries. Calvin and Victoria were both Cancers.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is those are like water signs and fire signs. Ron was a Scorpio. I'm a Scorpio. That's why I got along with him so well.
Mm-hmm.
Chris is a Libra. His wife is a Virgo. Sierra Dawn Thomas is a Sagittarius. And Joe is a Libra. I could go on
yeah.
and on.
Yes.
Reem is an Aries.
Okay. Who do you work best with? Like, do you hear somebody
yeah.
that's a sign? It's like, bing, that's my person.
Well, like Ron, but not in this season.
Okay.
Like, if I was with Ron in my first season, I think we would have gone to the end
mm-hmm.
as both
is
new
Ty
players.
Is Ty a Scorpio?
oh my gosh, I'm blanking on Ty. No, Ty, it's Ty at a Taurus maybe, which is my opposite, which kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a good question from Josh Green. Of all the Edge of Extinction newbies,
yep,
who does Aubrey think would do best in a second shot at the game? This is very fun now that it's not. It's nighttime. Somebody has a fire going.
It's so beautiful. It actually is very calming. It's bringing me back to sedate Aubrey. Who would be the best? Victoria has a strategic mind. I think they'd be after her, though. Victoria?
Mm-hmm.
Or Eric?
Eric?
Mm-hmm. We didn't see enough of him this season.
Yeah.
And I think in the right season, he would bond with people
mm-hmm.
the right way. I didn't agree with some of the game moves he made, but mm-hmm. Victoria.
What about Chris? I'm fascinated by Chris on a second season. Would people target him? Would he be under the radar?
I think he'd be like, I think my buddy would be in a good spot.
Yeah.
Because people wouldn't
I think
suspect.
He would be underestimated.
He's so underestimated.
It's interesting.
Yeah, he's such a funny character because he can be such a pain, but then I love him to death. Mm-hmm. He would do well on a second season.
Yeah.
He would do well.
Edward Morris, big Aubrey fan, Edward Morris
Thank
is.
Thank you, Edward.
Wants to ask you, do you think that things would have gone differently if you were originally part of the Manu tribe with
yes.
David instead?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that my game would have been totally different with a bunch of wacky characters. I think I could have hidden better and not seemed like the nut job if I was with people who were way bigger nut jobs than me.
Mm-hmm. Felipe wants to know, having played with Ty and his love for Mark the chicken, how did Aubrey feel about Wendy releasing the chickens?
I just rolled my eyes.
Yeah.
I was like, are you kidding me right now? But it was kind of funny because everyone was like annoyed by it. But at this point, it doesn't really faze me. I'm like, oh my God, why are we doing this again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It was okay. I mean, good on Wendy. That was good TV.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. And let me ask you one of these questions that this seemed like that this was annoying people.
Please.
About did you Please. At one point have a Twitter bio that says I should have won in your Twitter
what?
Bio? Or is this an urban legend? Because this was a point that
on my
people,
Twitter bio
that people used to. Or was it on any bio that this is one person asked, can you bring up the fact that she put I should have won in her official your official bio in your CBS bio?
Oh yeah, I put it in the third time and I had to do it the third time and I was feeling sassy and I wrote it in 2 seconds and they
yes.
said why could you win Survivor 38 and I said because I should have the first time.
Yes.
Yes.
Now was that tongue in cheek? Because I think that some people read that. That's an insult.
You know
to...
what? I don't really give a shit. Get
yeah.
over it.
Get over
like,
it.
Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's all good, man. Who cares? Yeah.
yeah.
Should have won.
Yeah.
Does that make me bitter? Go ahead. Make me bitter. Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I would have voted for me. Am I allowed to be sassy? Sassy and crying. That's what you get from me.
Right. Why is it a big deal?
I mean, I just think it's funny. Like, am I not allowed mm-hmm. to have an opinion?
Right. You have an opinion.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yes, I believe I said that. It's called having humor so you get cast again.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I drew a double bird middle finger on that same application that you didn't see.
Yeah. Which you drew a double bird middle finger on the
I drew myself giving the finger on the CBS application before 38.
Before 38.
Yeah, yeah, you should have seen the shit I wrote on that application.
Yes. Yeah.
It was so good.
Why?
Because it's the third time. Have a little fun. I mean, I
yeah.
know, like, I feel like such a hypocrite. Like, have fun as I'm over here, like, doom and gloom.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, have a little fun.
Yeah.
I was having fun. Can we have fun? Is that allowed?
That's fun. Alex Mason Whitmore wants to hear favorite Reem story from The Edge.
I can't repeat it.
You can't repeat it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about second favorite Reem story?
I can't repeat that one either. Okay. But I, the bagel.
Why? Why? Yeah, why? Is it just too vulgar?
She was like out of control. Like, you're not supposed to like talk to the camera guys and stuff. And she'd be like, yo, dude, bro, like, I know you're there. I know you see me. Like, hey, she'd be like, hey, you got nice legs to like a producer. Like, you look good. Like, oh, you're looking clean today. Like, you smell really good. And like, they can't talk to her. And so she's just standing there just like, bro, right? Like, tell me who won the, like, who's her team from DC? She's like, tell me where we're at in the playoffs. And like, she knows nobody can answer her. And it's like, yeah. Reem. But you'd see like a little smile crack because it was like, this lady is incredible. Yeah. And she won't follow any direction.
Okay. Very much looking forward to getting to talk to Reem. What else, Aubrey?
That's it. I'm really grateful to the people who have been, like, as much as I seem angry, there are streaks of that. It's anger because I so badly want to feel like I can be a part of this community, and I know I have to step away right now.
Yeah.
And it just hurts, and it's a grieving process. So I do thank you.
What's the analogy of that you have to step away?
Wasn't it that like Frodo couldn't live with a lot of people after he threw the ring in the Mordor fire or whatever? Like, I need some time in my hobbit hole to like make friends who remind me, like, my friends I was with this weekend who I watched the Bruins game with, and they were just like, you played Survivor 3 times. Like, that's pretty damn cool. And they weren't Survivor people. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. They're like, you don't have to talk about it. Like, I know you want to talk about it, but you don't have to. And like, it's funny, right? Like, you cried on national TV. You had a cyst on your leg on national TV. You had your boobs hanging out on national TV. Like, it's funny.
Yeah.
Like, it's amusing.
So, if other survivors potentially down the road then have the opportunity to go back, would you give them counsel as in terms of whether they should do it or not?
If you're willing to be open to self-development.
Yes.
If you're willing to take every opportunity as a gift, do it.
Yeah.
Because as much as you hear me having very hard feelings, I am so much more comfortable with who I am as a person.
Mm-hmm.
I am trying to figure out how to let this go, but I do believe that I'm armed with tools and I have a better sense of myself than I ever had in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of reconciling that with the past 4-5 years. I didn't go to grad school. I went to Survivor.
Yeah.
And I made an active decision not to go back to school because I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I went to the School of Survivor. And it's been the most transformative, like, unbelievable experience of my life. Painful? Yeah, obviously. Really annoyed at some people? Yeah. Really pissed off? I feel like there's not a place for me in moments? Yeah, but it's mostly gratitude. Like, the relationships I've made, and especially on this season, like, Joe Anglim is an incredible human being. Kelly's an incredible human being. Eric is a cool human. Ron is a great human. Like, there are wonderful people that you play with.
Mm-hmm.
Reem is my...
Yeah.
Also, you know who's amazing?
Who?
I'm very close to Lauren.
Oh.
I love her. She's a very... We never played with each other in the game.
Yeah.
She is
that
one of...
That helps sometimes.
Yeah. She is one of the strongest, most wonderful... She's like 20... How old is she? 22? 23?
Yeah, something like that.
She's incredible.
Yeah.
She's going to do amazing things in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so proud and like... a friend way to watch how she conducted herself on this show.
Yeah.
She's young, she's tough, and she's got it. So I love her. She's been a light for me.
You still like California?
I love California.
You here for good?
Yeah, except if I like buy a van like Devin and just roll out. Like
Devin Pinto.
Yeah, just wanna like roll out, man, into Utah or like...
Is that what he did?
Colorado. Doesn't he have that pretty van that he did over?
I know. I think he just had a baby.
He just had a baby. But yeah, I'm a wandering spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what's next. I really want to get back to my writing and telling people's stories. I would like the story not to be me. I would like to get back to my journalism.
Your journalist,
yeah,
yes.
I want to get back to my journalism roots. And
maybe talk to Rick Devens.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I would love to get back to that because I love connecting with people mm-hmm. and sharing the things. I think it's the human experiences and the small things and the conversations around campfires that make us who we are. And those are the most powerful stories. So I'd love to get back to that in some capacity.
Yeah.
I want to be the documentarian. I'm sick of being documented for a while.
That's good. That's good. So, that's healthy.
It is healthy. It is healthy. And self-care is a major, like yoga, I've been trying to do that. And mm-hmm. I just need time to get back, just get back to normal.
Okay. If this is going to be your farewell to the Survivor fans
goodbye.
For some time.
Yeah.
What do you want to leave people with?
I am not going to do a final farewell because I know this community enough to know I'll get sucked back in like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But just thank you to those of you who have recognized that it's more than just a game for some of us.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who can make fun of it in a fun way, like shout out to Peppermint Fatty, James McDaniel, you can make fun of me. Mel Got Served, you can make fun of me all you want because you know how to have fun and jest and you're still like great people. So thank you to people who've understood who I am as a human, who mm-hmm. are willing to listen, and the people who've had fun with it. And to people who want to do a toxic tornado, I wish you the best.
Yeah. And for people that want to be positive, Aubrey is still on Twitter. She's Aubrey Bracco. No?
Yeah.
You're not on Twitter?
Find me on Twitter, at Aubrey Bracco. No E in my first name.
Yep.
Same
you
on
gave
Instagram.
It to Kelly Wentworth.
But yeah, like, thank you. Like, I have so much gratitude, and I hope some people can appreciate how vulnerable I'm being, because it's not easy, but...
And I certainly appreciate it.
And you guys have always, like, Survivor's always been good to me in that way of, like, letting me share my story. And, like, you could talk to me next week, and I'll be like, who cares, man? But it's a weird process. It's a grieving process of knowing you have to let something you love go. You're sad. You're angry. I think I'm somewhere between angry and acceptance.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming here and getting into all of this.
Yeah.
There will be
Sorry
people
that, was heavy,
that
guys.
This will fall on deaf ears,
yeah,
and there will be people that will have a whole new understanding of you as a person and a player and a human.
Yeah, and I would encourage anybody to apply. I think you should all do it. And I'm not going to give out casting advice because I get a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
But just be louder than you think you should be. And don't be afraid. And go for it. And if you're willing to do the hard work, and I've been doing a lot of hard work, it's the best gift you'll ever get.
Okay. Aubrey, anything else? Or you want me to release
Shut it
you?
Off, Rob.
Shut it off. All right.
It's time to go on the Edge of Extinction and play 20 questions.
Okay. All right. Wait, was that a popular game on the Edge of Extinction?
Yeah, I was like, I would play. War Dog is actually really good at that because he doesn't stop talking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. All right. The great Aubrey Bracco, thank you again.
Yeah.
I greatly appreciate it. Thank you to the patrons of Rob is a Podcast, especially the nice ones who don't say anything mean
and
about
if you're
Aubrey.
Mean, no, thank you to the haters, too. I really appreciate you.
That's nice of you.
I do.
That's
I do appreciate it. No, I do, because at least you're talking about me. Why don't you go work on your own life?
Okay. All right. Of course.
Love you guys. I'm happy. Bye.
thank you, everybody, for listening. We could not do it without the support of the patrons. robhaswebsite.com/patron for more information on everything that we're doing behind the scenes at Rob Has a Podcast. We're going to talk to David Wright next. He'll be the next person
Danger
that I'm going to talk to.
Danger Dave.
Going to come through here. I don't think that we will go nearly as deep with David Wright, but let's...
I hope you don't for the sake of people's like psychological capacities.
Yeah, I think we're
going
to bounce around.
Yeah,
do
maybe
some
you should get a little lighter.
Do some Q&A.
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to be the next one of these that we do later on this week. All right, so be on the lookout for that. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.